Bring the meeting to order, please. Can I have a roll call?
Kurt Olmstead.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Timothy Doherty. Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holdaway. Bruce James. James Mangucci.
Here.
Carl Richko.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sebatek.
Here.
Michael Tiefbank.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here. This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Publics Meeting Act, NJSA 10:4-6. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to pertinent newspapers or circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this point in time, I'll entertain a motion for the minutes of July 19th.
Go move.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olmstead.
Abstain.
Councilmember Carluccio. Is that a yes, Tracy?
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Councilmember Doherty. Councilmember Francis. Councilmember Mangucci?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Sebatek?
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefbank?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
And Chairman Riley?
Yes. That brings us to the Chairman's report. Just briefly, I'd like to update you on where we are with our MOU with the NJDEP. Staff from both organizations have been working diligently over the last 2 months to try to get something out. We had a very early draft submitted late yesterday that needs review and has to have legal review. I will be pushing to try to have this before you before the next council meeting. Pressure. And hopefully we can get, the anticipation is this fall, get municipalities up to speed on the delegation of the authority for granting exemptions. Do we have any committee reports, Mr. Bowden?
Bylaws Committee held first meeting here in this building at 2:30 on Friday, July 27th. We reviewed and discussed the list of suggested changes to the bylaws that were suggested at our July meeting. We have requested and will receive before our next meeting an organizational chart and a copy of the original bylaws and any previous revisions. I didn't call a meeting in August because we didn't have a regular meeting. And with the assistance of Annette, who's not here today, we'll schedule a meeting between now and the next meeting.
Thank you very much. Any other committee reports or general comments from any council members? Seeing none, we'll move on to the executive director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like tonight to start with our plan conformance highlights, which shows we've been active in the last couple months. These are all municipalities that have submitted various elements of the conformance requirements. Wanacue is administratively complete. Pohatcong has a planning area petition ordinance that was passed in August, and also a TDR feasibility grant application that we will ask you to vote on this evening. We've received a municipal response from Roxbury. Far Hills is still in the program, and they just asked for an additional response time. Well, Pohatcong, we will have a public hearing tonight at the pleasure of the chair, and we are in a position to highly recommend the acceptance of the Pohatcong petition. So petitions are for conformance, are moving along. But I think more importantly is our implementation status is starting to come together. Implementation really is the point where the rubber meets the road and shows the commitment of a municipality to take that step beyond conformance and actually make the plan work. So I have a few updates here. We have all of these various municipalities in conformance and adopting various pieces to fulfill the Highlands obligations. And I think that's a very positive sign and shows good forward movement. Constituent response has been something that we have been especially concerned about, and it's been a program that's existed since 2006, but now we have structured it to the extent of having one of our knowledgeable staff answering questions as they come in, answering people who might just walk in off the street asking questions about the Highlands, and hopefully giving them an immediate and direct answer. Year to date, we've had 172 calls, which is a lot of calls when the issue is the Highlands and the answers are not necessarily simple yes or no. They are generally relatively complex. We have increased our outreach program, getting out to municipalities, getting out to all of our counties, and we've met with 7 counties, 12 towns. We've been to Trenton 19 times to try to resolve questions at Trenton, and we might have had regarding our collaboration on a number of issues. And we're starting to go to various events. Sussex County has a fair coming up. Highlands Coalition will be at their policy meeting to talk to them. We'll have an educational table at various other events, and we will have a consulting table at the New Jersey League of Municipalities coming up in November. So we're trying to get the word out, the positive word about the Highlands, all those things that we do well and we think we do right, and show people where we can be of assistance as their regional planning agency, which kind of makes a natural flow into our next presentation, which we talked about last meeting, was that as we go to these various meetings, we need to have something we can show them. We want to show them the positive aspects of the Highlands. We want to show them the treasure that this region is. We have on our staff a highly competent photographer, Nathan McLean. Where's Nathan? Back here. And he put this together for us primarily as a backdrop to our outreach presentations. It'll be behind a table, if we have a table at an event, and it just reminds us of really the sacred trust we have and perhaps why we are doing what we are doing, showing the treasure of the Highlands. And it just reminds me of how often we get involved in the thick of thin things. And this short video, if you'll indulge me for 7 minutes, I think really takes us to the heart of the Highlands. So, Carol. Thank you. So there you have the Highlands in 7 minutes or more. Thank you, Nathan. If I might indulge you one step further, Mr. Chairman, in the last several meetings, members have asked for informational sessions on various topics that we are confronted with and that are part of the Highlands law. This evening, if you permit, we would like to do a very short 5-10 minute presentation on redevelopment in the Highlands. Your prerogative.
Sure.
Then it would be my pleasure to introduce our Director of Planning and Science, Chris Dantas, and Chris Ross. You will introduce Chris Ross, who is our Senior Resource Manager Director, and I'll give you a little overview briefly on redevelopment, an issue that we will be facing, I suspect, in the next several meetings. But rather than talk about it then when we're in need of acting on it and discussing that application, you'd have the background this evening to look at it from what the law provides and what our obligation is and what our responsibility is. So, Chris, I'll turn it over to you for a brief presentation.
Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Chair. Hi, Council. This redevelopment process has been in place as a result of the RMP, and it's been in place and working, and you'll see from Chris's presentation those that have been already in front of the Council. And this is sort of next steps for how we go through the process and how Council gets involved in that process. So go ahead, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Hello. First, I want to say what a fine opportunity this is to have a chance to speak with you today. As Jean indicated, we are anticipating a project to be coming up in the next couple of meetings for redevelopment review. So we thought it would be a good opportunity to address the review process.
Am I blocking the screen?
Excuse me.
No problem.
I'm being late. I have an excuse. I was with the Lieutenant Governor.
The Highlands Act allows for three types of waivers from the preservation area rules. One are for projects for public health and safety. Second are for redevelopment areas identified by the Highlands Council. And third is to avoid a taking of property without just compensation. So the subject of today's meeting is redevelopment projects, which will be approved by you, the Highlands Council. So what qualifies a site to be a redevelopment area? Two things. First, it's previous developed plans with a minimum of 70% existing impervious surface, or brownfields, contaminated sites, that have been identified by the DEP. These areas can be a portion or all or several parcels of, and it's not just parcels, it's an area that's drawn within these parcels, of which 70% is impervious surface. On further, there are projects that are deemed exempt through either exemption number 4, which is the 125% exemption, exemption number 5, which is improvement to a single family house, or exemption number 6, which is an improvement to a school or a place of worship. So any projects that are exempt do not come to you for a Highlands redevelopment area designation. It's basically a two-step process. First, applicants come to us, the Highlands Council, for a redevelopment area designation. Once you approve that, if you approve the project, the applicant then goes to the DEP to get the permit, which is called the Highlands Preservation Area Approval with redevelopment waiver, and that gives the department the ability to waive any of the provisions of the preservation area rules as necessary to accommodate the development, but also to make sure there's protection of environmental resources. In 2008, the Highlands Council staff prepared written procedures for Highlands redevelopment area designations, and those procedures were deliberated by and approved by the Highlands Council. That was October 2008. Those procedures are available on our website, and anyone who comes in here wishing to get a copy, we can provide, of course. The process starts first with a voluntary inquiry meeting. It's strictly voluntary. It's a chance for an applicant to come, speak with staff, review the project, make sure that they're going down the right path, so as to not waste time if it's truly not a viable project. If the applicant wishes to proceed, the next step is a pre-application meeting with the Highlands Council, and there's required materials that the applicant must submit when applying for a pre-application meeting. Following that, once the Highlands Council staff determines that the application is administratively complete, the Highlands Council conducts its review, the staff conducts its review, and prepares two work products for your review and analysis. One is the consistency determination form that I think many of you are familiar with. It lists all the goals, policies, and objectives of the regional master plan with a checklist next to it of consistent, inconsistent, or not applicable. The second work product is a staff recommendation report, which provides to you a detailed project description, the administrative history, and the staff's analysis and basis for its recommendation to you. That gets posted on the council's website for approximately 10 business day public comment period, where the applicant can provide comments as well as members of the public. At the close of the comment period, the staff analyzes the comments and, as necessary, makes amendments to the draft staff recommendation report. It gets reposted to the website and then comes before you for your deliberation. If you find the application acceptable and you approve it, the whole thing then goes down to DEP, as I said before, for the permit, the HPA with redevelopment and waiver. And we accompany the applicant as he or she requests, because we're trying to make this a coordinated process, a streamlined process, so as not to be onerous to the applicant, to help move them through. This is just a flow chart that basically goes through what I just said, the different steps for redevelopment. It's in the procedures report. So what are the decision criteria that the staff looks at, and then you look at when you review these applications? First is, does the site meet the 70% impervious surface criteria, or is it a brownfield? Second is, will the proposed project seek to avoid and or minimize impacts to environmental resources where a waiver is sought? Third, is the proposed project consistent with the goals, policies, and objectives of the regional master plan? Also very important, does the site have sufficient infrastructure capacity to support the project? Also, does the site, is the project actually compatible with municipal zoning? And finally, we would look at any unique or mitigating criteria based on the RMP policies. As Chris mentioned, the council has approved several projects to date, actually nine. The first approval was the Oak Ridge Associates in West Milford. That was in June 2009, well less than a year after the procedures were adopted by the council. Another interesting project was the West Milford Complex proposed public library. They came to the council very concerned that the project be expedited because they were trying to secure funding. So they met with us on February 1st, 2010 at a pre-application meeting. At that meeting, they brought their formal petition, and we were able to work fast and get you the project for review on March 4th, literally a month later. And we were able to move that through and then to DEP, and they did get their HPA from DEP. So we're very proud of the process. We think it's very efficient. It's helpful to applicants, but at the same time ensuring protection of environmental resources.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How long does it normally take to get the DEP portion approved for an applicant?
Early on, it was quite a long time. But since, I'd say in the last year, they've really started expediting them. And once they get it, less than 6 months.
That's fast.
Relatively speaking. Prior to that, again, it was a brand new process. Like it was for us, it was a brand new process for them as well, and it took a while. But now they're starting to move them forward quickly, or as quick as they can.
Question?
Have there been any applications that have been disapproved?
No.
No.
So anyway, for more information, there's plenty of it on our website. If you go to the project review tab, not only are the procedures there, but there's also, you can see all the work we've done on the previous nine projects, so it'll give you a good handle on the process. And of course, I'm always available for questions or comments, either via email or phone. So thank you for allowing me the time to address.
Thank you, Chris. That concludes the executive director's report. I would like to introduce the next resolution for you to take over, which is the council consideration of the borough of Hopatcong.
One moment. In the future, can we get, if these slideshows aren't too long, maybe we could get a copy of them?
Sure.
For the council members?
During the...
Somebody wanted to either for review after the fact, in case they wanted to go back and look at it.
Would you like, as part of the, prior to the presentation?
Would you guys like to see the slides?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, we'll get you 6 slides on a page, and only be a couple pages, I'll be fine, I'd be happy to do that. We look forward to doing more of these, because these are important to, from a public standpoint, too, to see some of the things we can. So sure, absolutely, we can do that.
And there's still some fairly new members that haven't had the opportunity to look at some of these scenarios. Next item up is public hearing and consideration of resolution, petition for plan conformance submitted by the borough of Hopatcong, Sussex County.
Mr. Chairman, at this time I'd like to recuse myself. I'm an elected official in Hopatcong. It would be conflict if I would participate.
Thank you, Mr. Francis.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I'm an elected official, a freeholder in Sussex County. Hopatcong is a municipality in our county. I got a recent email on recusal. Advice, and it advises me to recuse myself.
Thank you, Mr. Bowden. I thought freeholders could, but I'll defer to you.
In the abundance of caution, why don't we let him proceed?
Mr. Chairman, I'm honored to introduce tonight the mayor of Hopatcong, Sylvia Patillo, and Hopatcong's planner, Susan Gruhl, and they are here to answer any questions or just provide an audit of the process as you officiate on it. I am extremely pleased to introduce Hopatcong, which is an incredible community that it's hard to tell where the lake ends and the community begins, because they really are one. They they function in synergy with each other. I was last night with Margaret at the Morris County League of Municipalities and at the Lake Hopatcong Yacht Club, and looked across the lake at Hopatcong and recognized what an incredible treasure the lake is and the resources that Hopatcong is protecting and is trying to protect with conformance. They have opted to apply a petition for both preservation and planning area, and as will become our custom, with your permission, we will ask the liaison to the community that is seeking petition approval, and our director of planning and science, to make the presentation and tell you the work that they have done and why they feel this community deserves recognition as a Highlands petition conforming community. So, Mr. Chairman,
Chris, you have
to
see.
Would you go?
Please.
Yeah.
Thank you again, Chairman Riley and Council, and Chris Ross is the liaison for Hopatcong. We really just wanted to hang out here. But anyway, we're pleased to present to the Council the Hopatcong Borough Petition for Plan Conformance. The Council's work with the Hopatcong Borough and its professionals started in December of 2009 with a petition for the preservation area only. And as a result of rolling up our sleeves and working with the Borough and a regional planning team, we, led by Chris Ross, the Borough recognized that it was important for the planning area to benefit from conformance as well with the regional master plan. And as a result, in February of 2012, the Borough adopted a resolution to petition for the planning area. Working as a partnership, a Highland Center was also proposed for a portion of the planning area in accordance with the criteria that was established by Section 10 for the planning area and the RMP. And I'll just read that again for the sake of setting the stage. By encouraging appropriate patterns of compatible residential, commercial, and industrial development and redevelopment and economic growth in or adjacent to areas already utilized for such purposes. And we feel that the Borough of Hopatcong, its petition for both the plan and preservation area and the proposed center for consideration today represent the intent of the Act regarding the planning area. And this is the 10th proposed Highland Center that has come to the Council, and it's been a long time in development, and it's been a great partnership. And as you know, and you'll hear from Chris Ross, Highland Centers are unique opportunities to protect and enhance Highland's resources, such as Lake Hopatcong, while supporting the quality of life for the borough and region residents and stakeholders. They involve enhanced planning and technical support in accordance with the RMP, many thanks to Chris, and the hard work to PACCOM for being a great Highlands partner. Thank you. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. As Chris mentioned, the borough came into us for the preservation area in 2009, and this year in 2012 came in for the planning area. The borough for PACCOM is known as the town by the lake. Lake Opequon is, in fact, the largest lake in the state of New Jersey. This slide presents several statistics if you're interested in reading them. And it's interesting to note that this picture taken of the lake was taken along the shorelines of Roxbury facing Opequon. This slide shows the Highlands land use capability map zones. You can see here, this is the planning area boundary. Much of the area around the lake is existing community zone or lake community subzone, which represents the lake community around Lake Opequon. As we said, the borough can work with the planning and the preservation area. The acreages are shown on the slide. As Chris mentioned, the borough's petition for a Highland Center designation. They're also expressed interest in possible redevelopment area designations in the preservation area, in areas where there's some impervious surface. But that hasn't been fleshed out yet, it's just in this early discussion. The borough is also interested in intramunicipal TDR. And in fact, they received a Highlands grant some time ago to do a feasibility study. They've currently drafted a phase one feasibility study to study TDR. This slide shows all the required modules. 1 through 7, and the Highlands Council staff found no issues and found that each of the modules were consistent with the regional master plan. Beyond the required elements, there were two optional requests. One, as we mentioned, the Highlands Center. Even with approval tonight, the Highlands Center, the designation is going to be an ongoing planning effort between the Highlands Council and the borough. We've been working very closely and well to date, and that will continue. So tonight, the staff's going to recommend the preliminary approval with conditions that we'll show in a moment. And again, extensive follow-up will be required. The other optional request, as I mentioned, was the Highlands redevelopment area designations in the preservation zone, in areas that they designate their M1 zone. Again, preliminary discussions. We're going to have to do a lot more work to see the feasibility of that as well. This slide shows the actual center that as proposed. It's this black line with the black hatching all through here. And again, here's the planning area. And you'll see that this center designation encompasses all previously developed lands around the lake. Again, our zones of existing community and lake community subzone, by definition, means they're developed. So the Highland Center would include most of that Lake Opequon waterfront with its densely developed residential and commercial areas. So the borough's major objective is to address infrastructure for existing residential areas such that water quality can improve to the lake. There's currently failing septics. And another goal of theirs is to enhance and reinvigorate commercial properties located within the borough to support long-term health and vibrancy of the community. As Chris mentioned, there have been 9 Highland Centers that the Highlands Council have approved to date. If you approve this tonight, this would be the 10th designated Highland Center. We had a public comment period that ranged from August 30th through September 12th. We received one set of comments from Erica Van Aken from the Highlands Coalition. The Highlands Council staff prepared a detailed comment and response document, which we posted on the Highlands website on September 17th. We don't want to reiterate all the comments here, but we're happy to talk about them. But they are in that document, which has been posted on the website. So the staff recommendation this evening is to approve this petition with conditions, as listed here on the screen. I won't repeat them for you. We're very excited. We think this is a great opportunity for Opequon to not only develop their commercial centers, but also to have this opportunity to protect water quality and enhance resources. So, and again, it was a pleasure working and to continue working with the borough and with Susan Roll.
Mayor Patillo, did you want to add anything, or?
No, really, I don't.
Good answer. Can I get a motion on the resolution?
So be it.
A motion? A second? Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, could you explain the final housing element, fair share plan?
Well, I'll start, and then I'll hand it over to Chris. They've met their obligations, and that was module three of the petition. At this point, I can't really speak more to that, but Chris, if you can jump in. As you know, COA is sort of in a holding pattern on those third round rules, so the reports that go down to COA are there and are pending review. And COA started to review on rehabilitation of prior round obligations, so we're starting to get reports from those. But we'll continue to stay tuned to how that moves forward, and we'll continue to honor that obligation.
That's for development and redevelopment issues as well?
For the prior round obligations and rehab, that's what was in their report. Yes, that was submitted.
Thank you.
Any other comments before I open to the
questions? On the conceptual map for the Highland Center, why does the boundary go right through the middle of the lake? How does it go around the land area? Right through it.
Good. Again, I'll start and then I'll let Chris continue. Because there's things along the in the shoreline that might need advantages of the center, docks.
It's also the state GIS municipal boundary rules that they go to the middle of the lake. That's the municipal boundary. So that's the state municipal boundary. We didn't pick that on our own.
Any other questions before I go to the public? At this point in time, I'd like to open it up to the public. I'd like to remind members of the public that it's 3 minutes. Please respect your fellow audience members by staying within the 3 minute rule. Would anybody like to speak on this application? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Deborah Post. I noticed in this application there was a suggestion that there would be a voluntary receiving area for TDRs. Described as intra-municipal, I am assuming, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that means OPATCON would like to attempt to compensate residents within their community. However, most of this community is in the planning area, not the preservation area, so I query whether these TDRs will be used to compensate planning area landowners who have now been harmed by this conformance plan, in that they are being opted in prior to compensation for preservation area landowners throughout the highlands.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson. Anybody else in the audience? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, yes. Just so the public knows, you see us staring down for the first time. We have a monitor in front of us, so we're not spinning our heads. We took it out of the executive director's office to make it a little easier.
So you're looking right
really
there.
Yeah, this is the picture of the chairman.
Thank you very much. Wilmer Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. New Jersey Conservation Foundation supports the Borough of Wapakoneta's petition to conform both its preservation and its planning area to the Highlands Regional Master Plan, and we're delighted that the municipality wishes to do both. While we are not opposed to the concept of the Highlands Center in Wapakoneta, we do have some concerns about the center as proposed on the map that was submitted. I will note that I realize that it does say conceptual on it. But I would note that the Highland centers that were previously designated by the council, including Byram, Hackettstown, and Pohackon, they focused on and included specific attributes and areas that would contribute to and benefit from center designation. This area is a very broad brush approach to a center. These previous centers included both specific areas for development and redevelopment and specific historic and cultural resources and designated Highlands environmental resource sites to protect environmental resource areas that were located within the center's boundaries. They were much more specifically delineated than this particular center is. This concept is very broad brush, it's very non-specific, and it includes not only the entire existing community and lake community zones, but also substantial acreage along the lakeshore to the north that's in the Highlands RMP protection zone. All in all, we feel that this proposed center, as currently drawn, is really totally out of scale with the municipality within which it is located. It also does not appear to take into account the water supply deficits that apply and the fact that the majority of the area is within the wellhead protection areas for the numerous public and community and non-community wells served by the borough. So I'm glad to hear that there will be continuing work done on this center. And we strongly urge the township with the Highlands Council and its planners to substantially refine and reduce the size of this proposed center so that it incorporates clear objectives such as, for example, walkability, access to alternative transportation modes, commercial and mixed-use development or redevelopment, and conservation and open space protections, as well as identification and protection of historic, cultural, and scenic resources. I think that some of the objectives, the water supply, the wastewater objective, number one, there needs to be a sustainability, recognition of the sustainability or non-sustainability of increased development in this very large area. And number two, the rest of the area does not need to be in the center just in order to have more planning. It can be done through the master plan and the ordinances and the planning that will go on for the entire municipality. It does not need to be in a center. The center, if you look at this center compared to the size of the other centers, except for Phillipsburg, which is a small city, it's quite out of proportion, and I hope that it will be targeted for the final result. Thank you very much.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this? Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope, and I see no mention of the exact dollar amounts that the Highlands Council is going to dispense to the PATCON for these studies, unlike past submissions where they where these dollar amounts were designated. So as taxpayer, I'd like to know what you're going to fling at the PATCON to do this work. And I would also would have hoped that by now you would have attempted to at least get a rough balance of how much the proposed receiving area could absorb from the preservation area landowners who can't now do anything with their land, to see what kind of balance there is, to see if you can achieve, in effect, an intramural transfer of development rights within this town. I don't see any of these details. I go back to the town of Clinton, where this council flung $23,500 at a similar application, and anyone that knows the town of Clinton knew that there was no opportunity to do such a thing. So basically, I saw this as just another way to enrich the chosen, quote, professionals, unquote, who continue to feast on my hide as a taxpayer, using the Highlands Council as the vehicle for doing so. So I'd like additional details on this before you go ahead and do anything. Specifically, how much of the already built-up planning area, town center designation, will absorb from the preservation area landowners who now can't do anything? And number two, how much money are you going to throw at this to accomplish what may not be unaccomplishable?
The first point, there is no mandatory TDR program in place, so we can't require
no.
If I understood your question correctly, I'm sorry.
Yes, you did. Because what I understand, this township is asking for funds to do an intramural study. That is to say, transfer development rights from one part of the town to another part of the town, not outside
I'll
the
defer
town.
I'll defer to the ED, but I understood that they hadn't gotten to that part yet. They suggested that they may be willing to do that.
And you're going to throw money at us to do it.
That's correct. We have not finalized that
decision on that as of yet.
And there would be some grant funding to do that.
Yes, there was in the town of Clinton, and you found in the town of Clinton, not you, because you weren't even here at that time, that obviously anyone who knew Clinton, there was no opportunity to do so.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And also, you did not even do a rough estimate as to the number of TDRs available from the preservation area and the number of opportunities to absorb these TDRs within the planning area.
That'll be part of the review that we move forward with. If we see, obviously, there is no opportunity for TDRs, then it will change that forecast altogether. So it's an evolving process, and we haven't granted any specific amount of money for that yet.
My point is, you should be doing it here before you refine the study with, quote, professionals who will eat up this grant money.
And we will do it preliminarily here to determine if there is a validity in moving forward with that.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this application only? Yes, sir.
Elliot Rubin, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. As Chris Ross mentioned, the New Jersey Highlands Coalition submitted written comments about this conformance petition and the center designation. And I just wanted to mention to you that we appreciate the comprehensive response and consideration of our comments. I think the staff has done a very excellent job. And that the center designation and how it will end up is a work in progress. As you probably are quite aware, planning is one thing, how a center comes to be as a livable community is one thing, and these center designations are extremely important for the success of this regional plan, and we look forward to its success. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the compliment on that with our staff.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this application? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the council. My name is David Pfeiffer. I'm the Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. We support the center designation in this case. Wish to bring two issues to your attention, which probably have occurred to you as well. The largest lake in the state of New Jersey, surrounded by several other municipalities. We would trust that the Highlands Council would facilitate intermural or intermunicipal coordination among those towns focused on this lake in order to alleviate some of the problems which we know are already plaguing the lake. It's important that one municipality doesn't grab the remaining environmental capacity to the detriment of the others. and that the total load ultimately planned to be inflicted upon the lake is in harmony with the lake's capacity. The second issue is the issue of water supply. It's our understanding now that Opatcong Borough is supplied by locally available groundwater, drawing from a relatively limited aquifer, and that the intent of the center designation is to sewer major portions of that town and export that water to the Musconetcong Sewer Authority's treatment plant, which is downstream of the lake in a different sub-watershed. I would ask that there be careful consideration about ultimate development load and exportation of groundwater and the development of a water balance model for Opatcong should be part of the ultimate center configuration. Apart from that, it's good to see some action taking place around one of the greatest resources in the islands. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion. Any further discussion by council members?
Mr. Chairman, this is Tracy.
Yes, Tracy.
I don't know if it's appropriate. I missed out the last couple of times. Can you hear me?
Yes. Please.
Okay, I just found a couple of things here. I'm concerned, you know, you look at this picture and it kind of takes your breath away in terms of how much development there is around the lake. And one of the things that, you know, is addressed in the report that accompanies the consistency review is the fact that there is a lot of existing development. When I, you know, read through it to try to figure out how that development would be addressed, I get more concerned because it seems, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that where the plan is really going, where the center would actually take them, is to basically validate the development that's already there, and then to go further and consider infill. I mean, under the description, the Hydrant Center description and features on A3, it talks about, you know, the possibility of providing for future infill development and redevelopment within the area. So that I'm very concerned about because, you know, we always talk about how important it is to restore areas that have been overdeveloped and how important natural vegetation and restoring the ability of the soil to absorb rainfall and other precipitation and recharge of aquifers and, you know, the importance of forests, all of that in terms of, you know, a healthy community is so important. But here, we're actually sounding in this report and the roadmap, and you might say, for the center, that's not a priority. It's really a plan to sewer it and allow for infill to be connected to that sewering, and with no real explanation except, you know, the usual, imprecise reference to the development of a water use and conservation plan about where they're actually going to get this water. I think Mr. Pfeiffer makes a very good point about what is the, you know, exploitation of groundwater I'm going to be doing to the water balance in this area. So, and then also I'm concerned because in that description that I mentioned on A3, that the issue of water is mentioned in the beginning of the paragraph, and then, but it's not, then only the sewer is talked about. I mean, and the concluding paragraph to that section, it says, you know, there will be, of course, you know, a comprehensive wastewater management plan developed, but, you know, I think the concern that I have could be allayed if that was to be done first. And if, as Mr. Pfeiffer and the Highlands Coalition also brought up, that there be cooperation with surrounding communities in order to figure out how the limited capacity that is available and existing infrastructure can be, you know, best utilized for the region. So, you know, we are a regional planning authority, and I, you know, I look at this and it just, I don't see any attempt to, you know, try to restore areas that have been damaged, to keep the ball from continuing into the last bit of open space that are available there. And I really don't feel I can support this application because I don't see that effort here. And I know that that's a very important part of our goal in these plans. Now, I do totally support the work that Compaq has done in developing a plan to fix the septic systems that are negatively impacting the water quality of the lake. And certainly it's appropriate to use existing infrastructure to address that and reduce those water quality problems. But in terms of infill, there's also another mention to commercial development that could occur. All of that really is, for me, a stop sign on this. And the other thing I just want to mention is, there is groundwater utilized in this area. So we have to remember that not only are we going to be providing, a healthier environment and, green spaces for people who live there by extending the sprawl into the last open areas or restoring some of the areas that are already developed, but we also will be recharging those wells that are so important for our water supply. So I know there is a mention under the non-mandatory component of looking at stream restoration and protection planning. I can't see how it just seems to be words because I don't see it could possibly have that be compatible with commercial development and infill development, particularly if you're going to sewer it because it allows the density to go up. So that's my concern, and just wanted to get that on the record here for the council to think about.
Thank you, Tracy. Any other comments from council members?
Except the chairman. I was wondering, these are very good comments here, especially those by Tracy and other people about the water budget. And I know our staff has worked very closely with the municipality to address that. Is there any way that we could have the staff address that water budget issue right now to tell us that, assure us about the compliance and the increased sewage capacity that's going to occur here and where the discharge from the sewage is going to go?
All very good questions and good concerns, and they haven't been missed by us. It's just a matter of timing and when you can get there. And the first thing that comes out regarding the water balance is the requirement that a water use and conservation management plan be put in place. And in fact, that will be a component of any planning regarding whether or not they get water and sewer capacity and in what shape and form that they get it. And that net water availability analysis is sort of the heart of what we do in that water use and conservation management plan. Actually, before we get to all the details of the center planning, the document includes $35,000 for a stream corridor protection and restoration plan that addresses to protect the stream and lakes in the municipality and to mitigate any impacts that are there. That's already been identified. Just to let you know, if you're not familiar already, the implementation plan and schedule that accompanies any petition lays out right now phases. So where you see a dollar amount and you see a plan with dollars at this point in time, that's the priority in the process. So towns cannot do everything all at once for plan conformance, and in the case of Lake Opakon, that water balance, that stream protection corridor that's been identified has been identified as a first year priority. We've also identified habitat conservation and management plans. That plan has been identified for $15,000. And that's for development to identify species at risk, options for restoration and mitigation, and standards for unavoidable impacts. They've been given a priority in the process of Lake Opakon. So at this point in time, we're at the beginning. And we're so welcome to have this partnership for the plan in the preservation area. We look forward to that continued partnership with the other municipalities that surround the lake. And it gives us an opportunity to do a comprehensive evaluation for the town that recognizes those resource impacts, funds those resource impacts, because we can talk about them, but without the dollars to do them, they're just going to be studies on a shelf or they're going to be ideas in our head. And so what this has been able to do is put dollars to that. We develop a scope of work in accordance with the RMP. Normally consultants are brought in that are specialized in this area and hydrogeologists. And
That normally is, you know, how we work for the town and its professionals. So that has been done right up front for Lake Opatcon. It's also been in dollars for to assist with redevelopment planning, and that's contingent upon the scope of work always, as well as center planning, which looks at coming up with planning and documentation of what's appropriate. So things have to be put in place. The plan sequencing for each town is unique regarding what exists. And for the case of Opatcon, that lake is rather important to us, as well as it is to identify what the historic development patterns have happened. It needs restoration and mitigation. It needs partners. And this is the beginning of that process. And that's why the plan has been put together this way. And I think what happens in all too often is the concept of the center is different than, for Highlands region, is different than other centers. We think of centers as mandates for growth. That's not true in the Highlands. This is about being appropriate growth based on existing conditions to improve quality of life and protect resources. This is about enhanced planning. It's not about putting a bullseye for growth next to the lake. And it's hard because we've lived in a state where centers in the state plan have been always identified as growth, even though they've come in different shapes and forms. And if you've looked at the 9 centers that you've approved so far, they're unique to the conditions that are there. They're all not designated for growth. They may represent a planning policy that that town had for a very long time that now we're able to help them get to. And some of them are for remediation, and some of them are for redevelopment. So when we look at, we develop a center, it's a case-by-case basis.
Chris, do you anticipate increased sewage load into the sewage treatment plant?
At this point in time, I could not answer that question for you because we have to do that study. We are doing a wastewater management plan for the town that's townwide. It will involve a net water availability analysis. The net water availability analysis that went into the regional master plan was based on data from 2003, and that data has been updated statewide since 2009. We are working with USGS and NJGS to get updated data on that. So I will tell you that the first thing that will happen is that we'll get a real updated on-the-ground net water availability, water balance for PEC. And that it'll be an on-the-ground case of what's going on, and then we'll move on.
Chris, why don't we tell the council about what we're doing in Mount Arlington? We've got what we believe is a real threshold opportunity in Mount Arlington with our the conservation plan. It's a twofold component. This is another lake community that is certainly has the same risk of damage to the lake as some back outside. I think this is something you should hear about as a pilot program.
I love talking about water conservation, so I don't know how much time we got, but
not much.
Right, he's so quick, Chairman. Right, Mount Arlington Borough. We are working with them to do a set of model conservation ordinances to support water use and conservation management plans. The first will be able to be replicable throughout Highlands, and we hope statewide. It will involve stormwater, outdoor landscape and irrigation, and it will involve low flow appliances and high efficiency appliances for new and redevelopment, so that we'll have model ordinances across the state that we can do. Better stormwater, better recharge, monitor, you know, you'll see sprinklers going on in the rain, and that we do high efficiency, low flow fixtures, not only in the Highlands, but for every municipality in the state we hope to serve as a model for.
Any other comments from council members?
We had a question about how much money is going to cost all this, and the budget, and I guess our staff's put together to complete all the studies and all the work for
Any other comments from council members? Seeing none, roll call please.
Council member Wellstein?
Yes.
Council member Carluccio?
No.
Council member Doherty?
Yes.
Council member Dressler?
Yes.
Council member Mengucci?
Yes.
Council member Richco?
Yes.
Council member Sevetich?
Yes.
Council member Tiefang?
Yes.
Council member Vizioli?
Yes.
Council member Walton?
No.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Passes by a vote of 92. Next item up is consideration of resolution approval of transfer of development rights receiving zone feasibility grants to the township of Cohocton, Warren County. Can we ask for the two gentlemen representing Cohocton to come back in?
We have our ceremonial.
Councilman and freeholder in this picture as well. Ceremonial presentation. The memorialize in.
Hey, there's no picture of Lake Cohocton in that presentation, and I guarantee you, if you listen to a picture presentation, the amount of funds off on the state legislature and the treasurer of the army. Actually, I don't know how to do that presentation today, or I went to the end.
Everybody can this way a little bit?
Stay in the Highlands. I think that was the first mistake. You guys are up against the wall on that one. That's,
that is no longer, that's no longer the case. We can take them any place in the state.
Oh, I was unaware.
We were working with other counties to work on receiving areas. We're also working with the state planning office to work with them on some transfers.
Why has that not helped the price? Is it too early?
We're just getting started.
Could I ask the councils what they think a fair price would be?
I couldn't identify that. It'd be unfair to ask anybody what a fair price would be.
Okay.
I understand your concern. I can appreciate your concern, but I.
Thank you. I just want to, just hoping maybe it'll be fair compensation. I think this pertains because of the fact I'm hoping that there will be a change, but it would affect the TDRs, I believe. At our last town council meeting, our council passed a resolution petitioning the legislature for the restoration of a scientifically determined preservation area boundary in the Powhatan Township, Warren County, New Jersey. Whereas the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act was adopted August 10, 2004. Whereas the act placed the entirety of Powhatan Township within the Highlands region. Whereas the act denoted a preservation area that was identified as being exceptional natural resource value that includes watershed protection and other environmental sensitive lands where stringent protection policies should be implemented. Whereas the initial preservation area boundary in Powhatan Township, as determined by the substantial body of scientific and environmental studies upon which the act was based, and as depicted upon the draft Highlands Preservation Map issued by the Highlands Task Force on April 16, 2004, limited the preservation area in Powhatan Township to the extreme southeast corner of the township. Whereas at a meeting held April 20, 2004, the then mayor and council of Powhatan Township held a discussion under new business. Within the mayor advised he had requested the township engineer's office to prepare a report for the purpose of requesting the Highlands Task Force that expand the preservation area within the Powhatan Township, and a motion approved authorizing the mayor to send a report to the state for that purpose. Whereas a direct result of the April 22, 2004 report prepared by Cherry Weber Associates, the preservation area boundary was dramatically moved several miles, with the result that more than two-thirds of the township was incorporated into the preservation area. Whereas the current mayor and council of the Township of Powhatan feel strongly that this dramatic change in the boundary is unjustified, not based upon the underlying science that formed the basis of the act, and accomplished without the matter having been placed on a public agenda for that purpose of alerting the public, with the lack of any public input or hearing other than those members of the public that who happened to be there at that meeting April 20th, 2004. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Township Council of Township of Powhatan, County of Warren, and the State of New Jersey, that a request is made to the legislature and the governor that the act be amended for the purpose of restoring the preservation area boundary in Powhatan Township to the original location determined by the extensive scientific studies that form the basis for the act. I would hope you could get all this information, review it, Council, and I would request that this Council pass a resolution in support of Powhatan to go to legislation and governor to get these boundaries changed. If, in fact, all these years, what I've been told about the science and how it's the fact, it's true, then it would be credible of this council to write such a letter in support. It would show credibility to the science that created the act.
Your time is up. I can appreciate what has happened at Powhatan as I hear it. I have obviously substantiated ourselves. I know it's included in the act, which requires legislative a change through them, not through us. But we'll follow up with Mr. Files, see if there's anything there that points to anything. I'm not sure that there is. So
right. Well, it's a letter
for us to take any action without having any documentation.
Right. Yeah. I was just hoping a letter of support. I mean, it just shows that the Highlands Council, believes in its own science that created the Highlands, and it would give the Highlands Council some credibility. I believe all sides should feel that way. In fact, this is what everyone's been telling me all these years. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue?
My name is
Deborah Post. I just heard a query regarding the fair price of an HDC. The fair price is the appraised value, which was determined by this council's appraisers in terms of resources as $64,000 per HDC. That's contained in your own technical report, and I actually think I recall it's on page 34. Regarding this resolution, I'd like to suggest that if a receiving zone does not result, that the township be required to give back $25,000. I'd also like to request that some of this grant money be reserved to assist the landowners who may apply for TDRs and who also have professional costs. Municipalities have been provided with endless funds for endless studies, and not one penny has been provided to assist landowners with their own professional costs in determining the actual amount of their own lost land value, their needs for determinations, etc., etc. I have a personal example here. Chester Township's planner, George Ritter, was provided with the majority, if not all, of the grants provided, the municipal grants provided to Chester Township, which was somewhere between $15,000 and $25,000, I believe. Yet when I came in with a small proposal, he demanded that I personally pay him an additional $5,000 to review my application because, of course, he was so ignorant of the Highlands Act after having spent all of this council's grant money. I think this also is relevant for the MOU that was passed a while ago that references the municipal land use law. If you're going to require landowners who go into their townships for determinations of any kind and subject them to the municipal land use law, which requires them to put up thousands of dollars into an escrow fund and requires them to pay for their own municipalities professional review policies to get these determinations, you have just cost the landowners more money because the DEP isn't requiring us to pay that much. I think you should take some real serious consideration regarding sucking yet again more blood out of harmed landowners.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Yes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Pat Moffitt, APAC. Just a heads up, I was listening about water conservation as being part of this plan, and just a warning, wastewater sewers are designed with a given idea of what the flow range is per person per home. As you start pushing down on water conservation, you've got to look at the sewer side. What will happen is the velocity will start to drop in the sewer, you start to drop out the solids, concentration of the wastewater rises, and you have the great potential of evolving what's known as hydrogen sulfide, which is a gas that will cause odor problems. But more importantly, hydrogen sulfide can form sulfuric acid and rot out the top of your sewer lines within months. And I point out, I believe it was last year in California, pushed through an aggressive water conservation plan and caused tens of millions of dollars of sewer damage as their sewers collapsed because they had not taken into account the impact of water conservation on the older designs of their wastewater sewers. And I just throw that out as something that you should be looking at.
Anything else on this resolution? Please raise your hand. Seeing none. Any further comment from council members? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio? Is that a no, Tracy?
Tracy?
Yeah, I said no. Can you hear me? No,
yes, okay. Thank you. Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler? Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Mengucci?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes.
Councilman Dressler?
Yes.
The bank exists. Right now, it's somewhat limited on funds. We've had, four rounds or five rounds at this point?
We're at the fifth round.
And they've been addressing hardship cases primarily. And we're still accepting applications, and we're still reviewing them. We need some money in the bank.
We're looking at some alternatives now, but
we've also talked to some state-level people about perhaps merging some state bank TDRs with ours and perhaps giving some relief that way. That's purely in early discussion stages.
Any other comments?
Moving on. Next item up, consideration of resolution, authority for plan conformance and Highlands project review. This is the delegation of authority to the executive director, as has been for a number of years. Can I get a motion on this, please?
I'll move.
A motion?
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? I believe Mr. File has demonstrated and followed up with most of your concerns and keeping you in the loop of projects that are coming in. And we continue to review the bylaws, but at this time I'll entertain any questions from... We had five before you got it.
Okay. I was going to say, I think you need to report that...
I'll just add it. You guys still...
Yeah, we're still working.
Any comments on this resolution? Seeing none, roll call. I'm sorry, public portion. Anybody in the public wish to be heard on this? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Deborah Post, and I'd like to address item number 2, where basically everything in the TDR program has been delegated to executive director, which says very clearly to me that this council doesn't really care much about the TDR program, and it's not a matter in which that you think your own time should
We'll have to agree to disagree or continue.
Fine. I'd also like to note that it provides authority for execution of the documents and deeds of easement. You have yet to even adopt a deed of easement. You have a deed of easement on your website that's stamped final, but it's never been adopted by this council. I believe it's Tom Borden's deed of easement, which I have commented on here extensively, yet no action has ever been taken. So I'm curious as to how you can provide authority to your executive director to execute a document that you have yet to even adopt. The idea that the executive director is provided with the authority to negotiate the terms of the TDR deed of easement is a serious, serious problem, which I will, in fact, address in my public comment period.
Anybody else in the public? Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope. The last page of this resolution, item number 4, I had previously brought to your attention what Black's Law Dictionary says about exemptions, and an attorney from the Attorney General's office was here at this meeting when I brought it up, and he concurred that exemption is essentially means exemption. It doesn't mean that that you should review and issue exemptions. Exempt means exempt. If you want, I can send you a copy of Black's Law Dictionary, meaning of the word again, along with Oxford and Webster, should you wish. So I object to the wording of item number 4. When exemptions are really issued, at least the first 4, which are the most important ones for landowners, are simply validated by the date on the deed. That's all anyone needs to look at, is the date on the deed. And the building inspector can do that as well as you, and can do it in an instant. You cannot. And I question the meaning of item number 6, where it says, for all of the above, the executive director may, make a recommendation based on the potential impact on the Highlands resources, blah, blah, blah. I would like to change the word may to must, so that you, the Highlands Council, will have the final say over all of the above, items 1 through 5. This again, a point that Debbie Post touched on, has allowed the prior senior staff to basically go nuts with the authority that this council, not as currently constituted, but the past Highlands Council, let go. They let the senior staff run amok, make deals that really the Highlands Council wasn't even aware of. When Schreier asked you, the council as then constituted, you don't want to get into this, do you? And of course you didn't. So let's take responsibility for your actions, whether they be by your staff. They must be validated by you. Otherwise, you're not doing your duty. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, if I might, yes, I take offense at Mr. Shope's comments relative to the past staff, any staff member or existing staff member making any deals. And I'm not aware of any deals being made, past nor present. So, Mr. Shope, in all due respect,
we will soon make you aware of the deal.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, public comment. Wait.
Hope you don't leave.
Mr. Chairman, one thing I'd like to ask the attorney. If the executive director is making a recommendation, should we put that as shall instead of may? So it's mandatory, not permissive?
Sorry, can you repeat the question? He is making recommendations to...
Number 6 states that he may make recommendations to the council for final determination. Shouldn't that be shall? May is permissive in nature. Shall is mandatory. He should be making recommendations to us for final determination.
I didn't draft that, but I believe that's intended to address the situation where the executive director has been delegated the authority to do something, and then in his discretion, he may decide to present it to the council for a vote. I think this is the language that has been in place, and that's how it has been applied. That's the intent of that, not to, yeah.
We're delegating authority, and Mr. File may elect to,
if he thinks it's appropriate,
to the council.
And there was no exercise of that authority in the last 2 months. And I don't know what it was before that.
So I'm not questioning the issue. It's just that the word may seem, it's permissive in nature. I'm not as comfortable with the permissive nature of this particular thing as I would be if it was shall that you make the recommendations.
Well, for example, building on the comment from this post about the deed of easement. I understand that there is a model form out there, but before Mr. File would execute anything, he would certainly consult with me or our office. We would discuss any issues. Out of that, he may decide to present it to the council, or out of that, if it were decided that we needed to make some changes to the model easement, that could be presented to the council. But I think that's the context that this provision contemplates, something that you have already agreed makes sense to give to Mr. File. But if he, if for whatever reason a unique case arises, he has the option to present it to the full council for a vote.
All documents as far as easements and closing are passed through Deputy Attorney General and through the Department of Law for verification and validation. They are the state's law firm. So our law firm reviews all those documents, sends them back. I generally go to the closing, to the courthouse, wherever it is, make sure the document is filed, because the people who are taking the who are giving the easement want their payment at that point. So we take it to, this is a regular closing. All the documentation, the title work is passed through the Deputy Attorney General before it is signed or given for a signature. Just as you would with any closing.
This is a slightly open subject, but if all these deeds of easements are different, maybe we should review them before they get approved. Each one is individual deed of easement, is what I heard. They're all different.
Well, I think the format is the same, but they each have perhaps a subtlety that another one might not have, depending on the piece of property, be it a driveway or a drainage ditch or something that is unique to that property.
Okay, two things. One is, any post-meeting comment I'm not clear about. If you're giving someone authority of something that you don't have authority to do, and there maybe has to be something passed by the council prior to that. So can I entertain to post them up and just explain that one more time? Could you just come up to explain one more time exactly
what was supposed to? Do you understand what Ms. Post is referring to?
No. So then they're going to devolve something.
No, I was just saying, I understand what legally you're saying. Just would you just repeat it one more time very quick?
Mass permission to give my public comment thoughts here now that's clarified. Very relevant.
Well, I think just the reference point to the deed of easement is what we should be discussing right now.
There is a deed of easement posted on your website. Okay? I believe, although I haven't done an absolute line by line, but I believe it is Tom Borden's deed of easement that was drafted 3-4 whatever years ago. It has not been changed. On the top of that deed of easement, in red ink, it says final. However, Tom Borden was known to say, well, it was really just a final draft. Okay? That deed of easement, that legal document sitting on your website, has never been adopted by this council. It has never gone through a vote. It has never gone through a review.
Deed of easement for what?
The TDR. The TDR deed restriction. The deed restriction, which is also called an easement. My apologies. What has happened in the past, and I will give some specifics on this, is Mr. Borden basically said it was the starting point for negotiations, okay? And he made it very clear to the landowners, you ain't getting anything any better than this, and it's our clear intent to make the deed of easement as strict as possible, as onerous as possible. And that's precisely what they did. My issue is equal protection. There should be one very simple TDR deed restriction that's equal for all landowners. It shouldn't be negotiated.
You're talking about the template deed of easement that's used for TDR first.
But sir, if you go and look at all of them, you're going to find they're different.
No, I'm just trying to establish exactly what you're referring to.
Okay, there's one thing posted on your website, but the implementation of it in the past has been different and more onerous. I call it bait and switch. I am going to talk about this more specifically, and I have made comments on this before. You can pull them up in your back comments. This deed restriction should be very simple. There should be one deed restriction for everyone. And my concern is that when you delegate the negotiation of that deed restriction to your staff, you are not providing equal protection to landowners and setting up a very dangerous situation, because the unsophisticated, the unrepresented, those without cash resources who can't hire expensive lawyers to come in and be tough with your staff end up getting burned.
And we'll take a look at it. I'll ask the executive director to take a look at that. I don't think it has an immediate importance as to the resolution that we're voting on.
No, I don't either, but I would like a brief on exactly
we'll follow
what that she has in the
We will consult with the DAG based on the model that exists there, but understand any deed of easement has to be custom made to that property, and that's where the deviation comes in. And I don't think there's an impropriety, and maybe, and I have to say, in the deeds of easement that I've seen, or at least the easements that I've seen, there have been a wide variety of people seeking an alternative use after they've accepted the deed of easement, and those uses were explicitly prohibited in the deed of easement.
Like
that's
why, like anything else, maybe it's just a review of the template for the deed of easement.
And I think we should just be a good idea.
At least we'll have an idea of the picture.
True.
Yes.
I think we look back in the minutes. If I'm not mistaken, quite a long time ago, we, as a council, approved the deed of easement instrument for use with TDR. And I don't know if anybody else was on the council at the time, but I know that we had draft language, we reviewed this language. I know Monique's got her hand up, and she may recollect better than I do, but I think we did discuss and pass something.
Just so we don't. I'll request the EPA to take a look at it, and instead of beating it up now, what did or didn't happen, is we'll get a report on it.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, sir.
This resolution is for a 6-month period.
Right.
They've always been a 6-month period.
We haven't amended it.
Right. I think that I'm going to vote yes on it, but I think that we've really got to sit down and review this in detail to make sure that that we have exactly what we want to have. I've been very impressed by the executive director over the past few months. I think he's done a terrific job. But I think that we really have to sit down and go over this and make sure it's exactly how we want it. And I think there may be some things that we may be missing. And we have to look at it.
So please give me a call to discuss any of the items. I appreciate it. Any other comments?
Can you hear me, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Tracy.
Just as an aside on the deed of easement, I think Kirk's correct. I believe, I remember discussing the deed of easement at Highlands Council and it's been some guests. So I think we, you know, may have very well voted on it as well as researching. But I think, you know, in terms of the resolution, I can't support the resolution. My main concern is number 5, and so I think it's very specific there. We haven't, I appreciate that Mr. Pyle has shown his strength and not, you know, that he hasn't actually done that, so to speak. But that also leaves us without a track record to kind of, you know, get a feel for how this would actually be carried out by the senior team. So I think, you know, at this point, I can't support the resolution.
Your point, noted, Tracy. Any other comments? So, is there anything?
Just really quick.
I think we're going to get a review anyway, so I'm not sure.
I witnessed those painful discussions, and Ms. Post is correct. My recollection is that the council never formally adopted the final easements language. There are 4, and there needs to be 4 different templates because there's one for agricultural lands, and there's one for non-ag lands, and there's one for bonus credits and people without bonus credits. So I disagree that there's just one for everybody. It can't be that way. But there are 4. They have been significantly changed and reduced to about, I guess, maybe 2.5 pages. But they were never, in my recollection, formally adopted. And that may be because they were under DAG review. And I don't know if you can actually adopt it as is, because as Director File mentioned, I think there needs to be flexibility in each one depending on the property.
And maybe it's not adopted, maybe it's just signed off.
It needs to have something. Right.
I have a question of this.
Yes,
are they all available on the website that we can see them and review?
They should be, as far as I know. It's been quite a while, but yes, all 4 should be in there. Agricultural, non-agricultural, bonus, and non-bonus.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Wallstead?
Just one comment. So this is a 6-month extension, and we understand that the bylaws committee is still considering the comments that were put in place, and we're expecting to have a large discussion about this prior to this resolution being introduced again.
Well, I'm not sure where the bylaws is going. It would address certain aspects of the bylaws, but not everything that's in here. I think there's still further discussion on some of the items in here.
I think consistently on the record, desiring some sort of report and consent resolution for the council members on a regular basis from the executive director. I've been saying that for a long time. I also said the last time we voted on this resolution that I would vote in favor of it in light of the work that we're doing on the bylaws committee right now. And so that's where I still stand, and I'll vote yes.
Councilmember Coluccio?
No.
Councilmember Doherty?
I'm sorry, I had to take a phone
call. Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Mengucci?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetech?
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. And Gene, I think it's a reflection of the work you have done on how these votes, this vote has gone this evening, and thank you, and continue.
Thank you, Chairman, and we will get the update as requested on this for your next meeting.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, and the Deputy Executive Director and the staff.
Especially the staff.
Not so much the Deputy.
Not so much.
Thank you, Mark.
And Chairman,
good job.
Chairman, yes, I met with Ray for a late meeting. I know that the executive session is going to fly for you. It's on the way from the executive session. So,
have a good evening. Next item up is public comments. Please keep your comments to 3 minutes. At this point in time, we'll open it to the public. Please raise your hand.
Yes, sir.
Elliot Rubin, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Everyone is quite aware of how important that a TDR program associated with this regional master plan needs to be up and running for the continued success of this effort. As you probably know, this the Office of Planning Advocacy and the State Planning Commission currently has a draft state strategic plan out for comment that they are working on. They have a criteria known as plan investment areas, which are the areas that they have defined that the state would focus its resources for development and growth throughout the state. I don't know if this board has had any conversations with the Office of Planning Advocacy to include the Highlands Transfer Development Rights Program as an opportunity to be part of that planned investment area criteria, so that the state and the council are working together.
The answer is yes.
Can we be hopeful?
Yes. But it's a little early to speculate on the end result, but absolutely. Yes on both your questions.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand.
Yes, sir.
May I follow Mr. Stroke because we have a joint presentation? Please.
Let me begin with, first of all, I submitted to the Highlands Council some time ago a series of pictures that show the other side of the Highlands. That is to say, barns, silos, other dilapidated farms, structures falling down or have already fallen down. I'm sick of the pretty pictures that is presented to the public as the Highlands. That's only part of the story. I'll dig out these pictures. I'll give them to you again. Perhaps you'll use them. It was easy. one of the reasons that you, the Highlands Council, should review any legal document and act on it is to allow the person on the other side of the process the availability of acting within 45 days on a final agency action. You are the agency. Your executive director is not the agency. Therefore, if you act on it, it becomes the legal path becomes open to the person on the other side of the deal here. Way back when these deeds of easement came out, and I agree with Money. These things were never approved by the Highlands Council. Never. And I think a review of your own records will prove this. And when I was rather upset and met with Tom Borden over these things after the meeting, and Helen Heinrich was heard the conversation, he let me know that this was basically a starting point for negotiations. He also made it strongly aware that this was the best deal that a landowner was going to get. As it was the basis for negotiations, it was the threshold beyond which the Highlands Council would not go. From the landowner's point of view, it can only get worse for you as it was negotiated. Now, deed restrictions are done in other parts of the country, and Debbie Post has submitted one from Pitkin County, Colorado, which is a simple, it's not even one page. Not even one page. For X amount of dollars, you sell basically your development rights on a specific piece of property, and you fill in the blanks for that too. It does not have to go on for, in some cases, 6 or 7 pages. And this state's gone nuts when it comes to paper. And just because a good number of the politicians end up in jail because they're corrupt doesn't mean that everybody doing business in the state is. And what you will hear about later on from Debbie is the fact that somebody has already executed and gotten paid for a deed of easement, and because a key item in the deed of easement was changed from the quote template to that she signed, she can't her property, the continuing uses of her property have been diminished.
Thank you for your time.
And that's what you're going to be hearing about. All right, so think long and hard about this. Take control over a legal document that affects people's lives.
Thank you. Ms. Post?
My name is Deborah Post. I own property in Chester Township. Mr. Schofus described how Mr. Borden advised that the deed restriction was a negotiable document and that his draft was the best any landowner could expect. The threat that this council's previous staff would make all efforts to implement even more onerous deed restrictions was always clear to we landowners. We now have an example of the implementation of Mr. Borden's threat. I am bringing this example to this council's attention so you have the opportunity, one, to rectify a wrong, and as well as to review and revise the deed restriction with the concept of equal protection in mind. Item 3 of the deed restriction currently posted on this council's website reads, quote, "All uses of the property shall be allowed to the extent permissible under the Highlands Act and the Highlands Regional Master Plan." Makes sense. In contrast, the deed restriction issued to a hardship case last year does not include the uses shall be allowed language of item 3 in the council's currently posted deed restriction, but rather states in its place, quote, "new uses of the property shall not be allowed," end quote. Ms. Swan executed a deed restriction for an unsophisticated, unrepresented landowner qualifying for hardship that is vastly different from the deed restriction presented by her staff as the TDR deed restriction, which is still posted on this council's website. Ms. Swan and Ms. Borden executed a bait and switch that additionally harmed an already harmed landowner because this person's property is now unsalable and de facto worthless. The landowner has a buyer, actually has a buyer, who proposes a use that would be permitted under the Highlands Act. Because the proposed use does not require a septic, does not include development, does not create impervious cover, does not disturb any land, and does not interfere with any habitat. Yet, because it is a new use, the bait and switch deed restriction, more onerous than the one presented on this council's website, I emphasize again, will not allow any new use. Why should this council care about one of the few landowners who has actually received compensation, you ask me? One, the ethical implications of bait and switch, pulling the wool over the eyes of the unsophisticated and already harmed, are beyond the pale. Second, because having the marketplace, the property marketplace, understand that TDR deed restriction Highlands land is truly worthless is not good for your cause and will only increase pressure to repeal the horrendous Highlands Act. Third, if indeed there is sincere interest in creating a functioning compensation program, any such program is doomed to failure if the deed restriction is so onerous that no landowner in their rational mind would actually sign it. And finally, because equal protection and non-discriminatory practices are the American way, although I fully appreciate not the New Jersey way. I again provide you with the Pitkin County, Colorado TDR deed restriction with its substance contained in two sentences. The Highlands TDR deed restriction should read similarly. These documents will be attached to the comments on the minutes.
Mr. Carl, I would like you to look into that deed restriction and get a report back to us.
Do you have the particular deed restriction?
I have the relevant page. Of
I
can give you the whole thing if you like me to fax it.
If you can,
I know what you're talking about. I don't know about the deed restriction, but I think I know the case.
But I can see the block lot, too, so we can research that.
You're going to hear about it tomorrow. Yeah.
Thank you.
I hope you take it seriously. Thank you.
No, I think her assertion is that the template wasn't used, and it was the impact or what the resident was, probably because she wasn't represented. I think there was a change that limited her use that would have been granted in the template, and I think it's fair to look at that, quite frankly. So yeah, please get that to us as soon as possible. Would anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any matter? In the back?
Thank you again, Jerry Kern. At this same meeting, which was last Tuesday, this week, they passed the resolution I read to you earlier. They also adopted the regional master plan for the planning area, but I do believe we're probably the first town that's adding language into that for compensation of landowners in the preservation area. True compensation, not TDR compensation, and at a timely fashion. It's been 8 years and still nothing. I believe that's probably one of the first to do that, and I'm hoping that language stays in there, because if in fact this council ignores it,
Mr. Kearns, this council does not ignore it. In fact, I've heard it from just about every member up here, and I strongly believe that there should be full compensation for the members. Right. Unfortunately, the legislature did not put in place funding for full compensation for the landowners. It's regretful,
We're working within the boundaries of what we have available to us. That's why you see some of these hardship issues. We continue to try to work. Maybe you don't see it all, but, you know, to look at avenues to look to try to compensate people. I've been responsible personally for compensating people as part of Morris County Open Space, our Roxbury Township Open Space, where we have paid landowners full amount of what they're entitled to for their property. So we're in a sticky situation here. Yeah. I don't. There's nobody here that I can pull money out of their wallet to compensate everybody. I wish the legislature would do so, but at this point in time, we continue to try to get where we can.
Okay. Yeah, that wasn't implying directly to anyone in particular.
We hear it a lot.
But, you know, it's been a long time. And back to my other comment with the signs, you know, I truly hope that this council can get together to pass a resolution in support of BlackCon. Again, with what you just said, things weren't done right, and this will alleviate some compensation that would maybe needed in that area. And it's the only right thing to do, and maybe a resolution to the legislature on more funding. Something needs to be done. I know I spoke to Mr. Dressler, and he made a comment to council back months ago about having a meeting as far as compensation, but I'm sorry to say I don't ever hear any more of that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
May I address that?
Please.
We have had discussions. I've had discussions with the chairman. I've had discussions with the executive director, who was in my office a couple of weeks ago, with regard to compensation. Everybody up here wants compensation for the landowners. We don't want it to become a political football. We don't want it to become a lunatic asylum in trying to draw up this legislation. It's got to be done the right way if we're going to get it done. But we are talking about it and trying to come up with ways to do it.
Very well said, Mr. Chris.
Thank you. I hope you achieve that. Luckily, I didn't. I told my wife if we didn't get compensation early on, then I was going to not shave. I get close to that. Thank God I didn't hold up my end. I'd be tripping on my beard. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Good evening. Dave Pfeiffer from Anajack. I want to present you with something tonight from ANJAC, which is hopefully going to be a monthly event with submission to the council, and it's ANJAC's monthly Highlands Issues of Concern. And I will just briefly go over this, but I do have written copy that you'll be able to look at. The first issue is functioning of Exemption 11 under the Highlands Act. We've seen the Susquehanna-Roseland power line, the Tennessee gas pipeline, the new proposed Tennessee gas pipeline, and the Transco pipeline cutting across the Highlands. We've testified before that we believe that those things will continue, and we think that the council should cooperate closely with the legislature to perhaps tighten up some of that language in Exemption 11, specifically the part that says those activities are exempt, provided that the activity is consistent with the goals and purposes of this act. It's quite difficult sometimes to determine what that is, and we would urge you to think about that use some diplomacy with the legislature on that issue. You've had some real experiences with those large linear projects. Internally, we think that you should map the linear facilities that are there now, the power lines, the pipelines, and identify potential Highlands resource conflicts in advance of construction proposals. So rather than waiting for somebody to show up and say, we've got to do this, you should be prepared to deal with those proposals. Also involved with those issues are the issues of open space diversion. In numerous locations throughout the Highlands, and we would hope that the council might take a more forceful position to resist the diversion of public open space. We are spending money constantly to create more open space in the Highlands. And having it fall off the back of the bus in other ways is something that we think the council should be very interested in. And finally, there's a lack of coordination between or consideration of energy policy versus our other policies in the state of New Jersey, specifically protection of Highlands resources. And we would look to the council to work cooperatively with the governor's office, BPU, and DEP, and the legislature to create more effective protections of Highlands resources from these large scale linear projects. The second item is lack of outreach and coordination between the council and water consuming communities and utilities outside of the Highlands or within the Highlands. Some examples, Jersey City and Newark, which draw most of their drinking water from our resources here in the Highlands. We would hope that the council could develop a regular outreach program to work with those water consumers to encourage water conservation, infrastructure improvements, water allocation adjustments, and conservation pricing in jurisdictions that consume that Highlands water. There is a finite limit.
Thank you for your comments.
Okay.
I would like to say that Jade and Margaret have set up a plan within the Highlands area for outreach and have spent quite a bit of time on it. I haven't gone outside yet, but I still think they're working a little bit on the inside. I would like to thank you for putting a pretty good explanation I got from Mr. Bowden on the explanation of the MOU on your website.
Oh, thanks. I have a headache still. The last point I just want to make very quickly. Water user fees, to come back to the open space compensation issue in the Highlands, I think you could probably do that without legislation. There is a program operated by the New Jersey Water Supply Authority that earmarks a portion of the raw water fees to watershed protection. And you might want to look at that program and see whether that avoids the minefield of legislation attached to the T word.
Take a look at it. Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
Mary Lee Fulcher, Winton Township.
Sorry, your last name?
F-U-L-C-E-R. Fulcher. F-U-L-C-H-E-R. I'm here to plead for Split Rock. I live 3 miles away in Winton Township, not Rockaway Township, where the reservoir is. And over the last decade, I have watched such damage, such destruction, such vandalism that it's tragic. Probably the biggest thing that happened was 4th of July weekend 2 years ago, parking lot overflowing, kids at YouTube, on a YouTube video, kids jumping off a rock, drinking, diapers left in the woods. It was a mess. The mayor wrote a letter to the DEP and Jersey City saying, if I don't hear from you with some support in 10 days, I'm going to close the parking lot, blockade it. Jurisdiction is complicated. Blockading the parking lot where Rockaway Township controls only the roads, that was all the township could do. Well, the parking lot got blockaded because nobody responded, but that got their attention. And there was a subsequent meeting, and the blockage was removed. However, all in all, I have to say, DEP did not respond to the mayor's letter until the blockade happened. Their protection management of the reservoir is abysmal. They manage by putting up signs, naively thinking if you put up a sign, well, people will obey. Well, here's what happens to signs. Three things. One is they're ignored, like no alcoholic beverages, no swimming. The boaters get in their kayaks with their bathing suits on. They are vandalized, which is what happened to the keep-off sign that the DEP put on the historic furnace, which I thought was vandalism in its own right. That got spray-painted. There's a three-sided sign in the parking lot. That got damaged who knows how. All except for the panel about the historic furnaces. Instead, they went for the furnaces. And then the third destination of a sign is just to disappear. There was a handicapped parking sign, disappeared. There was a car top only launch site sign, disappeared. And now we want a boat ramp bigger and better and more unsupervised activity.
Coulter, your time is running out. What are you asking for this council?
I am, well, two things. Please consider very, very carefully the approval that I think is weighing on you for the boat ramp. And number two, I did prepare a long statement, but it was too long. So I have a packet of information, mostly pictures, that with your permission,
you can pass it over to staff.
Okay.
But there's nothing coming before us on Split Rock at this time. There's nothing before the Highlands Council. So we're not involved in that in any way at this point in time. DEP may ask us for an opinion at some point, but at this point in time...
Aren't they required to do that?
No.
Yep. Okay.
There's nothing before us at this point in time. All
right. So I can then give you...
Yes,
Mr. Packets.
Please do.
I think you'll find an interest.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. We do have an executive session where actions may or may not take place. I haven't heard the executive session. So if you wish to stay around in case there is action taken, you're welcome to. But like I said, may or may not.
Well, Mr. Chairman, yes. before we excuse the public, let's
yes.
I have a proposed resolution for the council to go into.
You can stay here for the resolution if you like.
They're free to go. But.
Yeah. Please.
The proposed resolution reads, whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, etc., permits the holding of closed sessions by public bodies in certain circumstances, and the council is of the opinion that those circumstances presently exist, and whereas the general nature of the subjects to be discussed include pending litigation in the matter of Hampton Farm versus the Borough of Hampton and the Highlands Council, docket number HNT-L-588-11, as well as anticipated litigation and other matters involving attorney-client privilege. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the council may enter into closed session at its public meeting of September 20th, 2012. For that purpose, it is anticipated at this time that the nature of the closed session will be made public upon completion or resolution of the issues to be discussed. Except any matter protected by the attorney-client privilege will not be disclosed.
Can I get a motion on that?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Right, have your attention. What's the resolution number?
It's 26.
26? We have resolution 20-12-26, New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council approval of payment and settlement of OPRA litigation. This is in reference to OPRA request in regards to the borough of Hampton, and inquiries made to us, the judge found for Hampton Farms and applied fees to the Highlands Council of $8,820. This would approve paying $8,820 to their attorney.
$8,820.
Can I get a motion on this resolution, please?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Second. We have a motion and a second. We'll open it up to the public. Does anybody in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? I'm staring at them. It's not. Any council members? Close the public. Any council members? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Council Member Alstead?
Yes.
Council Member Carluccio?
Council
Member Doherty?
Yes.
Council Member Dressler?
Yes.
Council Member Francis?
Yes.
Council Member Richco?
Yes.
Council Member Sevetich?
Yes.
Council Member Tiefenk?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes.
Who made the second?
That brings us...
Who made the second, please?
Sidari. That brings us to the end of the meeting. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Yes, motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're done.